it's another edition of Library Guys
and Gals
Go to the Movies. I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Welcome back to Library Gals Go to the Movies.
Hello.
I am here once again. Is me, Via, and my partner, Katie.
It's me, Katie. Hello.
And we are going to take a request from one of our patrons who recommended a lovely movie for us. I partially think that this was on purpose to torture us.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, we watched it, and we said that we were getting back to the cheese, and I'm not sure if we hit the cheese or if we went too far.
I think
we might have. Yes, I agree. But we're bringing back some bad movies for you, so that's a bit of our topic here today. Do you have any personal favorite considered bad movies in parentheses?
So for this one, I feel like this particular movie was just so bad, it's bad.
Yeah.
I love watching a good cheesy movie. This was just so not. Oh, we haven't said what the movie was, by the way.
Oh, that's true. It's so bad we don't want to.
So bad we don't want to talk about it.
Yes, we will be talking about Nothing But Trouble. That was what was requested for us for this podcast, and that is exactly what it was. It was nothing but trouble.
So much trouble to watch this movie. But yeah, in terms of general bad movies, I'm more of a lighthearted, so bad it's bad movie, like The Room is a
classic.
Yes, that's
a famous one, yeah.
I recently watched Tammy and the T-Rex, which was
good
bad movie.
Because didn't I send you the trailer to that? I still need to watch that one.
It's worth it.
We should review that one.
Oh, 100%.
That one
was a lot of fun. I'm a huge fan of the podcast, How Did This Get Made? And that's their whole shtick, too, is talking about bad movies. Occasionally they'll review a decent movie, but I've learned a lot of terrible movies. I can't even think of any off the top of my head right now. Oh, The Visit was one that just came up recently. Not a newer Visit, but 1970s Visit. They did the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
Oh, I can't watch that one.
Yeah, a couple like that, so.
The Garbage Pail Kids always creeped. I couldn't even look at the cards.
So nasty. Yeah. But, I like a fun bad movie, not a bad movie.
One Troll 2 is also an infamous bad movie. I don't know. I mean, everybody tells me this is a bad movie and I fight them, but I have a special place in my heart for Ghost Rider with Nicolas Cage.
Nice.
I will defend that movie to the death.
Yes.
I the movies that are so bad they're good because they're funny, and I agree. If a movie, in order for it to be so bad it's good, it needs to be so bad it's funny. So, so it's if you can't enjoy it and laugh at it, I don't really think that it meets that. And unfortunately, I did. There were a couple things that I was kind of in this movie and Nothing But Trouble, but it definitely felt more like it was a chore to watch it.
It was.
And there was a point that I hit where I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
But I still kept going because it was only halfway through the movie. So
we were committed to watching this from beginning to end.
Yes, we were.
We both did it. And I was mad at this movie for keeping me up past my bedtime. I was mad at basically every choice that happened. I was mad at the budget for this movie, which we will get into, I think, a little bit. But before we really complain all that much, let me tell you the plot
of Nothing
But Trouble. Because we're ready to complain. Listeners, we have a lot to complain about. So Nothing But Trouble came out in 1991. And the thing that is so devastating about this being such a terrible movie is the killer cast that it has. The movie was written and directed by Dan Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd, unfortunately, also stars in one of the worst roles in this movie. It is also, main characters are played by Chevy Chase and Demi Moore, with some sidekicks played by Taylor Negron, which were you familiar with him?
Yes, I was super, super excited to see him. And he was funny.
He was pretty funny.
His character was funny.
Yeah. And we also have John Candy starring in dual roles in this movie. And then,
and Peter Aykroyd, helped write it too. He didn't direct it, but he helped write it.
Co-writing. Who else was in this movie? That's basically it for the big stars of the cast. There's a surprise impromptu mid-movie music video, which we could also talk about. So this movie starred Digital Underground.
And for those that don't know, that means Tupac Shakur was in
the movie in a random cameo. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was a surprise. And so the whole plot of this movie, such as it is, Demi Moore and Chevy Chase are rich white people, let's say. That's fair. They meet in the elevator of his building. She's going through a divorce and is also a lawyer who has a client who's invested in some lake thing. This is as much as you get into the plot of this movie. They basically hit it off in the elevator. They decide that they have to go to this site to investigate. Ask me, does that sound accurate?
He's gonna, her client does something that she didn't want them to do and wasn't made aware, so she needs to go to that client and, like, do her lawyer thing. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's so vague. And so Chevy Chase is like, okay, I'll take you there. And that's essentially the plot.
Yes.
And then they don't end up there on a straight path there because there are two other rich there's a rich Brazilian couple that decide they're going to tag along. Mm-hmm. And they end up being like, hey, why don't, like, they, no, their thing is like, we packed a picnic, so let's ride through the countryside. And it's their fault, basically. They end up at this, like, middle of nowhere country town that's just all kinds of backwards, and they end up at the infamous mansion with the creepiest people ever.
Ever. They end up on, so they run a stop sign. That's how this whole movie really begins. John Candy is the sheriff of what we soon learn is Vulcanvania, and he takes the whole crew to the castle, and Dan Aykroyd plays the judge, and just, he's in the worst prosthetic makeup. He plays an old man. The judge is this crusty, creepy old creep. And essentially everyone who comes to Vulcanvania, we soon find out, never leaves. And, like, this movie is basically, like, a disgusting Clue. Like, you think that they're trying to solve a mystery. Really, all they're trying to do is get out. And they all find themselves in different predicaments where they need to... They're trying to leave. All they want to do is leave the mansion. And everyone just ends up in different places and different booby-trapped rooms trying to get out of them. At one point, they fall down a chute and land in a dungeon full of squeaky toys. And it's just, it's so bizarre. And really, that's essentially the plot of the movie, them trying to get out. They also find two fat baby mechanics that are filthy and sweaty.
Know what they even, like, they were just part of the family. I don't even know what they do. I know that the granddaughter or whatever fixed cars also. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. And the mansion's, like, in the middle of a junkyard.
It's in a junkyard.
And he's, like, the judge, like, of the whole town.
Yes.
But he's, like, super powerful, influential man.
And it's just, I don't, I can't even, I'm having a hard time, like, going beyond that. So, yeah, that's essentially the plot of the movie. And somehow
Very
a
big.
Love story also comes out of that between Chevy Chase and Demi Moore. You know, they still end up as a power couple team by the end. But
yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. But it's also, like, that's also convoluted. Like, the whole thing, you can tell. So, okay. So, we didn't like this movie.
No.
If you can't tell. But there, you could definitely tell. I'm going to, like, try to, you know, give it some benefit of the doubt a little bit. You could tell that this movie was going for camp completely. And it seemed to be a satire on, like, let's shame the rich people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, in that, you have, there's, like, a scene in the beginning where Demi Moore is talking about her problems, and she just starts bawling, like, really ridiculously and over-exaggerated. You have, oh, yeah, their romance.
Mm-hmm.
So their romance, when they're first... kiss, like, when their first kiss scene happens, she is talking about, she's like, oh, why do I always choose the wrong man? And then she kisses him, and she's like, oh, it's just so terrible, like, I always blah blah blah, and she's saying all of this, and, like, it's like this little monologue of what she's doing in the moment, because Chevy Chase is a jerk character. And, like, you know, like, everybody hates him. The judge hates him because he's a banker. And, like, he thinks that all bankers, the judge thinks all bankers should be dead. So.
He's, like, typical late 80s yuppie.
He just plays himself.
He plays himself. Although
I don't like Chevy Chase.
One of my notes in here, and we really noticed that, especially because I will say, not a huge fan of Chevy Chase, but I'm a huge fan of the earlier Vacation movies.
Okay.
Like Christmas Vacation is on my list every year. I love it so much. But one of the things I wrote down is, like, in this movie, Chevy Chase is Clark Griswold times 1,000. Mm. Like, he doesn't know how to be funny anymore unless he's that kind of funny. And this was so amped up. It was like, and it was just awful. Like, it's so not funny.
Yes, very over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even like the like, National Lampoon Christmas movies when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, I don't know. There was always something about Chevy Chase that I was just like, I feel like you're a jerk. And then I learned, oh, yeah, apparently he's a jerk.
Total jerk.
So, but, yeah, even though, like, we'll get into, like, the all of the terrible things because there's so many
So
I will admit, it, like, you had watched it before me, and you were like, oh, my God, it was so gross. It was terrible. And so I was really ready to go in just, like, feeling so cringy and, like, skeezed out. It wasn't as bad as that I was expecting. It was not good in any way, and it was creepy.
Right.
And it was cringy. But it was luckily not so bad that I couldn't finish it. It was just lame. It wasn't fun, and it wasn't that funny.
No.
There were a couple of jokes in it, like calling, I don't know why, but I really liked when Chevy Chase called the Brazilian couple Brazilianaires and had to explain them, just because I thought it was funny. Like, it was just, like, a cute thing. Mm-hmm. There was a point where they crossed a sign in the town where the judge lives, and it said, no cussing, and he just goes, shh. Oh, am I allowed to say that on this? I didn't think about that when I was writing it. But yeah, and, you know, John Candy's character, Zuh, were probably my favorite.
Yeah.
He was my favorite one in this. And I did laugh a lot whenever he came on. Like, that was the only character that I found funny. The other line, when they're speeding right before they get pulled over. So Fausto tells him, they're encouraging him to outspeed the cop. And so really it's entirely their fault that they get in this mess. And yet they're one of the first people that escape later on.
Yeah.
But he tells him, he's like, you have a BMW, act like it. And that was probably, like, one of my favorite parts. But yeah, John Candy was excellent as a cop and as his other role where he's dressed in drag as, was it Aldonia?
Yeah.
Who is the granddaughter of the judge.
That role drove me insane.
And she was a beautiful woman. She was
funny.
So graceful.
So not funny.
That was the only part I found funny.
Well, the worst part was they kept saying that she was mute.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to have this character, like, give anything away. But all he did was make these, like, mincing, simpering sounds. Like, I hated it.
And what's so funny about not wanting to give it away is it was very clearly John Candy.
Obviously.
So if there's anything that you get out of this movie, just go, like, look up pictures of what he looks like.
Gosh.
And I have a fun, actually, I'll just tell you now, and then we'll go into more trivia later. But I will say that a bit of trivia is that Dan Aykroyd based this whole movie off of a dream where he pictured John Candy in drag and laughed so hard, he had to do it.
Oh.
And so he based the whole plot just around putting John Candy in drag.
Oh, that makes me sad.
It makes so much sense, doesn't it?
It does. And I wonder, like, is this dream or is this Dan Aykroyd drug-fueled late-night ramblings?
I had the same question.
Yeah.
One of the comments I made was like, I was addressing each main star, and I was like, Dan Aykroyd, are you on drugs?
Absolutely.
So, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was something. The BMW was pretty funny. One of the things that I kept, like, being so surprised by was the technology that they had in that car, because the movie comes out in 1991 and it was like Siri level GPS, where I was like,
oh, that's
did
fair.
This actually exist?
I didn't pay attention to that at all.
Because they were like, you're like, basically they get off the turnpike and they're, you know, off the map when they end up in Vulcanvania, and their GPS is telling them that they're wrong. And I was like, whoa, that's pretty pretty forthcoming in terms of technology for that time.
It was probably because it was like they're rich, so they can afford like the stuff that's not even out yet.
The add-ons, exactly.
The rich can afford time travel.
I think, you know, the more that I'm thinking about it, you're right, the Brazilian couple is probably the funniest part of this movie.
Yeah, they were funny.
At one point, they escape, and they have to swim through a moat of sewage, and they seem to have no problem with it, because they're like, oh, it reminds me of Sao Paulo.
Right, so I did find that funny, but also, and I found it funnier when the other couple had to do it later. Mm-hmm. But so tell me, like, did you find that bit a tiny bit racist? Like, I was kind of like, is this okay? But they, you know, they pulled it off and it was funny. Yeah. And then later they had other characters do it, so.
The one terrible running joke of Sao Paulo smelling like a sewer. Mm-hmm. That gives you an idea of what this movie is like.
I've never been to Sao Paulo, so I don't know. I have no context. I would never could describe any place like that anyway, but, like...
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, let's get back to... let's focus a little bit on the judge alone.
Sure. Okay.
Because it's a lot.
It's a lot.
So, like she said, he has terrible prosthetics and makeup. He just looks like he's falling apart. He looks like he looks like the, like, goblins that protect the bank in Harry Potter,
mm-hmm.
but, like... without the ears and just like a million years older and fatter and falling apart.
There's this really bizarre, well, so the description I would give that really kept me going through this movie, because what I would say this movie was Mad Max on the East Coast, directed by, like, as a trauma movie. Like, it's Mad Max trauma, essentially.
Interesting.
So, with that comparison in mind, Dan Aykroyd, to me, was like Immortan Joe from Fury Road.
Okay.
Like, this big, moneyed, gross dude with a falling-off nose face who's apparently 107 years old. How old he's supposed to be. So, yeah, I would go Immortan Joe over Harry Potter Goblin.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. Yes. And then there's even a scene later where Chevy Chase, when they're sneaking around, they've gotten away from him, they're trying to escape. He looks through, like, a hole in the wall, and he sees the judge in his bedroom, like, getting ready to go to sleep. So he takes his nose off, and it just looks like it's just, like, skeleton, like, nose, nostril holes.
Uh-huh.
And then he, what else does he take off? It's something like he takes off his hair.
His hair. Like a toupee and his nose.
And then he takes off his nose, and then he goes to the bed, and then he takes off one of his legs, which is kind of funny.
Makes no sense.
He's just like, he's totally fallen apart, and he's basically like, the whole movie I was like, are you supposed to be like not human? Like, I mean.
Right.
I don't know.
He's just a monster.
Yeah, he's just like, I don't know what he was supposed to be.
He's disgusting.
Yeah, he's disgusting, and so are his twin babies,
uh-huh.
who are just, like, they're like the Tweedledee and Tweedledum of his world, his weird world.
Yes.
And they're just, like, jiggly and gross. They're just, like, little flesh babies.
Yeah.
They're like adults that have the brains of children, and they walk around the junkyard in diapers.
Somehow Demi Moore gets outside, and she finds the car. It's been completely stripped, has no doors, no roof, but she wants to get away in it, and then she realizes she's in a junkyard, and these two babies come out
hesitation to call
from
them
behind the car, and they're, like, shiny and sweaty and dirty, and they're in diapers, but they're gigantic.
I don't like it.
I hated it so much. They're like greasy Cupid doll humans, and it was bad, 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 bad. That was about when I was like checking my watch every 2 minutes.
That's exactly
like,
the same spot.
Over yet?
When they walked in, I was like, I'm ready to check out of this.
Yeah. Oh, their names were Bobo Babies. Because one of my last notes was, I hate the Bobo Babies so much.
Yeah. And they were weirdly made to be, like, the most sympathetic of the family, maybe. Like, they were like, hanging out with Demi Moore, and they were just like, we just want to be friends, and we just want to hang out. And then she escapes, and they cry.
They cry.
Because even Aldonia, the character that John Candy plays, she's got a penchant for torture, because mm-hmm. that's the other thing. So the other thing that makes this judge really creepy is that he finds satisfaction out of torturing the people that come in, and that's part of why they never come out, is based on their sentence, he's got, like, these little carnival ride button type things in his judge, his little office courtroom. And so there are other, as like our other characters are going through their escape attempts, there are other people that get pulled over by John Candy, and he brings them to the judge. There's a group that just are like driving around totally like done up on drugs, and so he,
driver of that car, by the way, oldest Baldwin brother.
Oh, is it?
It is.
There, I just feel like there were so many weird faces. It all just swirled together.
Yes.
And I don't know who anybody was.
Uh-huh.
Like, but so he pushes a button that instead of doing what it did to our main characters, it puts them on a conveyor belt to something called the Bone Stripper, which just sounds super fun.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, this movie was also supposed to be more violent and darker. It got set back so it could be given, like, a PG-13 rating.
Okay. This movie's PG-13?
It is PG-13.
Oh, my God.
I know, right? So he sends them through there. They get to the Bone Stripper. And the Bone Stripper basically, it is what it is. Like, it strips stuff off your bones. So they, it's just like them going in, and then you just see like the ending shot of like some really fake, like plastic looking bones shooting out. You know, it's very comical
perfectly
and overdone.
Clean, stripped skulls and skeletons coming out the
other end. It's very like Acme cartoon.
Yes.
Because like, it was, I feel like that's a moment that he probably was going to do a whole like Monty Python, you know, Black Knight kind of effects, and they were like, tone it down, buddy.
Oh my gosh. I don't think anyone told him to tone this movie down. This movie was insane.
They did, though.
What?
They did tell him to tone it down. So imagine what it originally was.
I can't. Don't think I want to.
I don't want to either.
So the only other trivia that I really know about this movie is that the budget was $41 million? Something around there, and the majority of that is prosthetic makeup for Dan Aykroyd. And by the way, Dan Aykroyd plays one of the babies as well.
Yeah.
So lots of prosthetics going on there. And then it was, the rest of it was all set dressing.
Yeah.
The castle, all of the props, all of the, every room had something weird in it. So I would say the majority of that budget was set dressing and prosthetics and probably Chevy Chase's ego.
Yeah, probably.
To know what $40 million could do besides make this movie is part of what infuriated me so much.
So do you want to be made even more infuriated?
Oh, do I? Go ahead.
Okay, so, well, so yeah. $40 million was the budget, so the movie only made $8.5 million back, but they went over budget. Guess how much?
Oh, I don't want to know. At least, I would say they went over $20,000 more. I mean, $20 million more dollars.
Okay. So that's too high.
Okay.
So at least there's that to feel comfortable about. It was $5 million. They went over budget by $5 million.
So this actually, so the budget was 40 and it cost 45 and they made 8.
Yeah.
I hate this movie so much.
Right. Like, we still got the end result that we got went over budget, like at all, but by $5 million. So yeah, that's hard. And actually the only reason that Dan Aykroyd directed this movie is because nobody else would. He didn't want to direct it is one of the fun things I found out. He apparently, He brought it up to a couple of people. John Landis instantly turned it down.
Oh, our good friend John Landis.
Yes, we talked about him on our Twilight Zone episode.
We did.
We are a fan. And also, he offered it to John Hughes. And John Hughes liked it. He was interested. But he said that he's sorry he only directs movies that he wrote the scripts for himself.
Whoa.
Which is in line with John Hughes. But
sure.
John Hughes didn't hate it. And that's very interesting to me.
Oh, boy.
So,
given when this movie came out, you probably don't remember seeing trailers when they were on TV.
Of this movie?
Yes.
No, not at all.
I had never seen the movie, but I remember the trailer from when I was growing up. And the trailer for this movie as a kid scared me so badly.
I can see why, because I watched it for
Like everything about it, because you don't have the context of anything, it was terrifying. It was basically like a haunted house movie with a creepy old judge and bad things happening. And it was legitimately scary. So I was surprised that it turned out to be just a really bad, like, I don't know, like, mystery movie, even. Like, what was it?
I nicknamed it Booby Trap the Movie. But yeah, you're right when
Gross
you say,
Clue.
Like, it's like if Saw were a comedy mixed with Clue. What, I mean, that's what I feel like the original concept was, too. It was a very toned-down version.
We also had the working phrase of, like, if Texas Chainsaw Massacre was directed by Looney Tunes. Like, if they had turned Texas Chainsaw Massacre into a Looney Tune cartoon, this is what you would end up with.
Yeah, that's
fair. It's just horribly disturbing.
That's very fair.
Yeah. What other trivia you got for me?
Let me see. I thought I had one that just directed to one of the things that you said, but I'm sure I'll get back to it. One of the things, so Roger Ebert hated this movie so much that he wouldn't even write a bad review for it. And apparently he said that he went to a midnight showing of it. And there was barely anybody in there, but there were some teens that were, like, yelling obscene things at it, and he asked them to please continue and be louder so he didn't have to watch any more of the movie and hear it. So that is some scathing comment from, not that I think that, I mean, I'll be fair, I don't think Roger Ebert is the end-all be-all, because he says bad things about several movies that I like a lot.
Yes, yeah.
But, yeah. Oh, and I remember I was going to say, so, the movie was supposed to come out in Halloween.
Okay.
Around Halloween of 1990. It got pushed back because of all the re-edits they had to do because they had to tone it down. So part of me wonders if maybe it would have gotten, like, a weird cult following status had it come out then, because it's just one of those really horrible midnight show. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I don't really know if that would have happened, but I can at least see making
it for a specific crowd.
But
I think part of the problem with this movie is that it takes itself so seriously for being so stupid. Like, the makeup is really, like, legit, even though it's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's legit.
Yes.
And there's, like, a plot that they're really trying to follow. So it makes things not that funny. Like, even the funny things that happen, the funniest part, like I said, is the Brazilian couple and all the jokes at their expense.
And they're not even, like, original jokes. They're jokes that, like, are funny because they've, like, we've heard them before. And, like, it's like, yeah, they're funny. But and maybe, you know, back then they're probably fresh. But but, yeah, it's like, you know, they weren't so funny that we were dying. It was just kind of like, out of a whole, like, uncomfortable sitting and watching of the movie.
Right. So yes. Yeah. There were way more exclamations of, ugh, than there were of, like, genuine laughs.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, So the movie was based on Dan Aykroyd's personal experience, is what he said.
Of driving on the New Jersey Turnpike?
And turning into this mansion with this crazy, you know, sadistic judge. But no, none of that happened. So apparently it was based off, like, his driving and getting pulled over by a cop late at night in Northeast U.S., and then he was taken to the judge of that town. I'm assuming maybe because it was so late, he had to go to his actual house, maybe.
And
that's like that's just because of the way the movie was. But at first, I was like, oh no, like it's gonna be like in Ohio, isn't it? It's gonna be some like town
this
in Ohio.
Happened in some weird town in Ohio.
But luckily, we don't have to fret. It was not based on here. It was based on Centralia, Pennsylvania. So Pennsylvania, it's your fault this was made.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it's your fault.
But yeah, so he was driving through there, and that little bit happened, and then he decided to exaggerate what that experience could have been.
And he had to figure out how to work in John Candy and drag into the same movie.
That was the whole thing. And I had a tiny thought that maybe that was part. Like, so there's a scene where Chevy Chase, like, in order to live, decides he's gonna, like, marry the granddaughter, Eldonia.
I think it's Eldona.
Eldona. Okay.
Yeah.
So, John Candy in drag. so, he's like, yeah, I'll do it, because he doesn't want to get killed. And so they have their wedding kiss scene. And it was in that moment that I laughed and was like, part of me feels like that was the only thing, like that was the first thing they wanted to do in the movie. Mm-hmm. And that whole thing was just like the basis for the movie. And it was kind of true.
Yes.
Like I just felt like, because also apparently Dan Aykroyd wanted to play, was it Chris?
Is it Chris is the Thor? Sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Chris is the Chevy Chase,
yes.
The banker.
So mm-hmm. apparently Dan Aykroyd wanted to play him and the judge first. Oh. And then they, Chevy Chase, you know, he kind of decided to let Chevy Chase do it. And so just picturing Dan Aykroyd and, you know, friends, him and John Candy just like kissing each other. I was like, yeah, I just feel like that was the basis of this movie.
Yeah, like, this would have been his joke.
That was his thing. I'm going to make a whole movie based on this. And
we
it's funny.
We did it.
But yes. Yeah. So my like last comments when I finished the movie were, Dan Aykroyd, are you on drugs? Mm-hmm. I felt like Demi Moore.
The answer
Moore,
is yes.
Yes. I felt like Demi Moore lost a bet.
Yeah.
And I feel like Chevy Chase was just making it because he wanted to work with his friend. And I was right about that.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably right about three things, but I only can prove one of them. Yeah, Chevy Chase said he hated this movie, and when he read the script, he hated it, but he just wanted to be in a movie with his friend
and support
his friend.
Yeah.
So at least you got that.
That's something.
And even though apparently Chevy Chase was, like, really terrible to work with, apparently everybody else was, and they just kind of went with it and had a lot of fun. So at least they all had fun.
At least everyone had fun, except for us, the audience.
Except for anybody watching, you know. It was a passion project that just, like, should have stayed as, like, a home movie that they made.
Yes. Yes, this is not something we needed to be subjected to. One thing I could not quite get over when we're speaking of Demi Moore, so this is kind of her high time in the early 90s. You know, the same year that this movie came out, her Rolling Stone cover, where she's pregnant and is naked, Annie Leibovitz takes her photo. It's iconic photo.
Fantastic.
So beautiful. And that came out the same year as this movie. And I could not get past what was happening with her hair. It looked like she put her hair in rollers, covered her entire head in mousse, then took each of the rollers out so she had, like, crunchy, short curls the entire time. It never moved.
Her hair only looked good to me in the very end when it was, like, more straightened. It wasn't curly.
Like, not, like, combed out.
It looked more
natural.
Like, you know, like, ghost.
Yes.
And, like, she pulls off short hair super well.
Mm-hmm.
It looks great. Like, she's got a good bone structure. But, yeah. And also, just... yeah, being in this movie, period, I don't know why she did it. And she did look fabulous, though, besides the hair. The hair was a little weird.
Uh-huh.
But I kept thinking the whole movie, when she had her, like, main outfit on, she looked very much like Wilma Flintstone. She had, like, a little white dress on and, like, some big pearls.
Yes.
So she did, like, that was cute. That was a cute moment.
Yes, absolutely. She did. She looked very great. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman. She should not have been in this movie.
Yeah. And it was actually this movie sort of tanked the careers of the three main guys.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't touch Demi Moore,
of course.
She
was on her way up.
Yeah,
they were on their way down.
Yeah, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, and John Candy, all it really hurt their careers, and they had really good comedy careers before that. But after the 80s, Chevy Chase did a couple of things, but neither of them were, like, huge enough to build up from that bomb that the movie was. Dan Aykroyd never directed again, which it makes sense that he didn't want to direct this in the first place. Like, I wonder if that was less of a, your movie sucked, you can't do it,
mm-hmm.
or he just doesn't like directing. So I don't know about that one, but apparently his other several movies throughout the 90s flopped. And then this one's actually really sad. So John Candy, actually had a big hit with Cool Runnings, but then he died shortly after its release. So he was on his way back up, and Cool Runnings is so good.
So good.
And then he passed away. So that was one of the ones that made me really sad. But yeah. And
he was so great. It's sad. I mean, he's so great in both of the roles that he plays in this movie. And this is just too bad. It's like a blemish on his career, practically. I'm going to read you a quote from a Stereo Gum article that I sent you yesterday.
Because okay.
I think it's so hilarious. That says, this is, like, talking about Dan Aykroyd making this movie. It says, this is where the ancient term epic fail comes from. Forget being ousted from Hollywood. I am surprised that the vodka industry let him back in the door. Look, Dan, we all love Crystal Skull vodka, but unfortunately we're going to have to pass. We've all seen the movie you wrote, directed, and starred, making it entirely your vision in a way that really says a lot about your vision. Good night.
That's great.
I think it's so good.
Like, I love that it's called Crystal Skull Vodka.
Crystal Skull
too.
Vodka.
Out of all the vodkas that can turn you down.
Oh, if you ever want to see something horrifying, have you seen Crystal Skull Vodka?
No.
It comes in a bottle.
I thought you were about to ask me if I've seen a...
have you seen The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
Indiana Jones. Yeah, I was like, actually, I have. Yeah.
So Crystal Skull Vodka comes in a jar or a bottle that
looks
like
a
skull.
Yes.
And at one point, some forensic anthropologists decided to reconstruct what the face would have looked like that had that skull.
I just nodded. Nobody can see that.
It's hysterically funny because it's the most horrifying face you've ever seen.
Does it look like an alien?
It looks... Well, the problem is that there's a mouth on the skull that is so wide that the face couldn't close its mouth,
oh.
So it's just this, like, wide-open hinge mouth. It's
why
horrifying.
Why did a person of serious job reputation decide to do that based on a vodka?
I really wish I knew.
That's why.
Why?
Did Crystal Skull Vodka claim that they based it off of something scientific?
Like I have no idea. I'm just like, hey, what would this actually look like as a face?
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's a good way to waste some hours at work, I guess.
Right?
I would probably do that.
Yes, exactly. Like,
if I had the tools
slow day
and the knowledge. But yeah, this was also John Candy's only Razzie nomination. And he got it. So he got it for Worst Supporting Actress because he played a woman.
Oh, nice.
And it was for Aldona, yeah. And so this one, let's see. He also, so apparently he was one of the only people to get a Razzie like this until M. Night Shyamalan got it for something from Lady in the Water.
Okay.
Which that one made me a little sad. So I'm going to say, like, I have a very strong opinion now on M. Night Shyamalan.
Okay.
I used to like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Lady in the Water because I knew ahead of time Lady in the Water was, the script was based on a bedtime story that him and his kids wrote together.
Okay.
So I knew going in it wasn't, you know, kids helped write it.
Right.
And also he was always promoted as like a horror director when
mm-hmm.
I always thought he was more of a fantasy director.
Sure.
And so I always thought he was promoted poorly. And so I always rooted for the guy, even when stuff wasn't that great. I didn't like The Happening. So when Split came out, I hated that movie.
I still haven't seen it.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'll give opinion for both of us.
Awesome.
But yeah, so Split came out. I actually went to see it. I was intrigued by it. And so many people loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was terrible. I thought the message was disgusting. It gave such a bad message and representation of mental health conditions.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this movie, like, did you do any research? Because this is extremely damaging. Mm-hmm. So I hated that movie, and that kind of lost my respect for him. Am I going to go see Old in theaters? Yes, because I enjoy being in toxic relationships, apparently. And M. Night Shyamalan, you got me again. It's going to be bad.
Like, yes,
I'm going in mm-hmm. expecting it to be bad,
yeah.
But it's also based on a comic that I plan on reading called Sandcastle.
Okay.
Or Sandcastles. So, yeah. But anyway, so M. Night Shyamalan is the only other person. Side note,
uh-huh.
M. Night Shyamalan is the only other person for that. So I think
Got
that
it.
Award was maybe not deserved, but
yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan did me dirty. So.
He's not our fave.
No, he's not.
So do you want to talk about, do you have any favorite movies that any of the people involved in this heap of garbage were in? I mean, I already said, you know, like, we're neither of us are Chevy Chase fans.
No.
He's a monster to work with, apparently. Although, you know, Community, other parts of Community, I thought,
you know,
were
what?
Hysterical.
Actually, yes. I'm a big fan of Community, and he was not terrible in that.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I don't know. Like, that's one of the first times I feel like he was with an ensemble and he didn't have to be the big lead of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it
I think he tried sometimes
Maybe.
To be the big lead, but he was hysterical. I mean, he was funny.
Yeah.
He kept his comedic timing.
Exactly.
And we talked about John Landis earlier. I am a huge, huge fan of the Blues Brothers. It's
mm-hmm.
one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yep.
If it's on, I'll watch it. And so obviously Dan Aykroyd and John Candy are both in that and are both remarkably funny. Mm-hmm. I love the two of them in that. And
I like Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck is so great.
I will watch anything with John Candy. Yeah. I find him hysterical.
Yeah, he's so wonderful. I mean, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is another one of those. Like, I will watch it every year. I have a tradition. It's our Thanksgiving movie. And he's so sweet in it. And every time you watch it, you realize how few movies he made, how little we actually get to see with him in it. And this movie also prompted me to request all of the DVDs of SCTV. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not. What is that?
So SCTV is Canadian version of Saturday Night Live, basically.
For some reason, I was going to guess that. So
it is sketch comedy. It was
Saturday
on TV
Canadian
for...
Live.
I don't remember. I don't actually know what it stands for. But we do have the seasons on DVD, which is actually great because that's a really hard show to find streaming.
Okay.
For a while, it was replaying just on random cable, but it's not easy to find.
Okay.
And Eugene Levy was also a member of the ensemble for SCTV. And so it's really great to go back and visit kind of their roots of sketch comedy.
And that's a great era for, you know, the times of SNL. So I feel like I will definitely be looking that up because I enjoy that era a lot.
And then, you know, we said, like, Dan Aykroyd is in The Twilight Zone. He had a little bit part in The Twilight Zone, which we both enjoyed. And, you know, they're just... Demi Moore, I can't pick a favorite movie of hers. Ghost is great.
I'm a big fan of Demi Moore. I even like... is it Striptease?
No, she's
I'm thinking? It's... Striptease, is that the bad one?
Striptease is the one with the girl from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, which one is, what's that one?
She is in...
No, I think hers is Striptease.
I'm thinking of Showgirls.
Yes,
she's
that's
in
the bad
Striptease,
one.
You're right.
Yeah, so I'm actually, that one's considered a flop too, but I'm a fan of Striptease. And maybe it's just because she chooses to dance to Annie Lennox. And like, it's just a mood, it's a choice. But no, I think that one's fun. But yeah. I love Ghost. I'm a big fan of St. Elmo's Fire, so I like that whole cast and her time with that. I'll watch the majority of things that Demi Moore is in. Also, speaking of SNL, Chris Farley was actually considered to play one of the twins.
Oh, my gosh.
Dan Aykroyd wanted him, but the only reason he didn't do it is because he couldn't get out of his SNL contract in order to have the time to do it. And also, Rick Moranis was actually asked to play Chris Thorne.
Oh.
So I don't know if that was before or after Dan Aykroyd wanted to play it.
I could not see Rick Moranis as a yuppie.
I think that the tone of the movie, he might have fit in better, but not as the character.
Right.
So they'd have to change that.
Yeah.
And then also, Jeff Goldblum was also approached for the role, but studios didn't think that he had enough star power, and so they wouldn't let them cast him. And I just read that and went,
if you only knew.
Jeff, my man.
Look, his career is still continuing to be on the rise. That's great. I love it.
He might even be like bigger in his fame now than...
Oh, absolutely. And if you walk up to someone on the street right now and ask them to name a Jeff Goldblum movie, you're going to get a movie much quicker than, what's your favorite Dan Aykroyd movie?
Right.
Right?
Because I've seen a lot of movies with Dan Aykroyd in them, but do I consider him one of my favorite people? And do I go looking for movies with him? No, but I enjoy him. Whereas John Candy... I look for stuff with John Candy in him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, and Derek.
So that was our experience with Nothing But Trouble. Patron who requested this film, I hope we've done it justice, and I hope you're happy with making us watch something that was just so bad. So bad.
I feel like you did it on purpose. I'm just saying.
Thanks.
If you enjoyed this movie, to each their own, I could definitely see this being on somebody's bad movies list.
Yeah.
I could see, you know, wasn't for us. And
no.
We told you, we were going to be honest on this podcast. If we don't like something, we're going to tell you.
Exactly.
And we clearly have stated we both don't like this movie. We both don't like Chevy Chase.
Nope.
Very strong opinions this episode. But we said, you know, we tried to do some good stuff too. I think the trivia was honestly more fun than the movie itself.
Yeah.
The trivia did make me like it a tad bit better just in terms of behind the scenes because it felt like they wanted to make it so badly.
Yeah.
And there was at least, like, a lot of heart in it from a really weird place.
Well, and it's like, it was a place where no one was going to say no. Like, clearly no one said no to Dan Aykroyd.
No, a lot of people said no. That's a lot of people. Well, did you not listen to anything that I said?
He said no.
But he was still going to do it.
Exactly. Yeah.
He was like, if nobody is going to help me, I'm going to do it myself.
That's so true.
But yeah, gosh. So that was our experience. We can't exactly, we should have, well, that's the thing. Neither of us recommend this movie.
No.
But at the same time, like, I don't even know. No. We're not even going to. We don't recommend this movie.
No.
But we're going to. And we told you about it, so you can just enjoy this version of the retelling and all the trivia behind it, mm-hmm. and that's your education.
Yes.
So, like, I did not look up if we have it at our library. It was on a streaming service for money. So don't, they probably, I mean, it doesn't get any money anyway,
right.
because it's like from the 80s, but yeah, like it's just, I don't even know where to watch it.
No, I got the DVD from the library. There are still a few copies out there circulating.
Stop. Don't tell
I'm very
them.
Sorry that you can get this on DVD. I was not going to pay money to watch this movie, therefore
did
I didn't. yeah.
But yes, the movie is called Nothing But Trouble. If you are a diehard fan of any of these actors and you have to see every single movie they've ever been in, maybe. It exists.
It's a movie.
It exists.
I give it 0 out of 10 Bobo Babies.
It was made 0 out of 10 Bobos. The new Razzie.
Yes,
the
0
Bobo.
Out of 10 Bobos.
Beautiful. So there you go. That is our review of this.
If
hopefully
you,
you're entertained at least.
If you have any thoughts or you want to convince us that this was a good movie, or you have a suggestion for your favorite bad movie that you want us to review next time, you can email us at libraryguys@delawarelibrary.org. And we will see you next time.
And please, please convince me. Give me comments on why this movie is good. I challenge you if you're listening to this. Do it. And again, we know that we've been doing some serious ones. We love bad movies.
Yes.
So feel free. But also feel free to request and recommend some good ones. We are actually going to be doing another quote-unquote bad movie next month. Katie is going to be taking a small break next month. And we are actually going to be having our very own D&D DM from the Delaware Main Library, who does the D&D kind of a club there,
mm-hmm.
Danielle. She requested that we review a D&D inspired movie with Katie's favorite actor,
Tom Hanks.
And we'll fill you in more on those thoughts next month. But yeah, so tune in because it's one of Tom Hanks' earliest roles. It looks like it's going to be a so bad it is good. It looks like it's going to be enjoyable. Plus, it has Tom Hanks in it.
Ooh.
So, which for obviously my opinion on that, I love Tom Hanks. So I will see you next month. And I will be here with Danielle. And we will give you another fun episode. And then we will, of course, miss Katie. But we will have her back the month after that. So, very excited.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Join us next time for Library Guys Go to the Movies. For more information on any of the films or digital services we've discussed, please visit DelawareLibrary.org.